All right, welcome back to the SportsMed broadcast. You can find this link with Miss Christina Curry King at sportsmedbroadcast.com at King 2018. How are you doing, Christina?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Give me a rundown about what you just talked about this afternoon.
So I went over a little bit on supplements and supplement safety. And so supplements are a huge, really broad topic. So I tried to pick a couple that are pretty commonly found or commonly seen in our high school, maybe a little bit younger, and maybe a little bit older age groups.
Okay. And what do you see, or I guess what are the questions you get a lot from that age group?
Yeah, so a lot of questions I get are, what kind of pre-workout can I take, or, you know, what kind of protein powder do I need to do? And so truly my first question is always, what does your diet look like? And so supplements are not meant to replace your diet. They are meant to be a supplement to your diet. And so if your diet is pretty poor, adding supplements onto it is not going to do you much help. And so if I determine that their diet looks pretty good, then we'll talk about introducing some supplements. And so first thing I typically always recommend is a protein supplement. Mm-hmm. And so that's a nice, easy way to get in that recovery protein after a training session, or even a lot of times night protein. We go to bed at 10 or 11, but we might have eaten our last meal at 5 or 6. And so protein supplement at night, like a shake or a smoothie or something, can be a nice way to prolong that recovery into the evening.
Yeah, I feel like just with the athletic population and in your weekend warriors and mm-hmm. just your gym rats, right?
Yeah.
Protein is kind of the biggest supplement that people talk about.
Definitely.
And now there's all these different kinds of proteins that you can get out. Doing a little bit of research myself just for my athletes, uh-huh. my clients, but also myself. You know, there's and you can kind of clarify some of the stuff.
Yeah.
There's better times to take certain amount of proteins that are fast absorbing.
Sure.
Whey versus a casein, which uh-huh. may be a little bit more slow absorbing.
Yeah.
Research, you know, you talked about night protein.
Yeah.
Can you kind of clarify some of that information that's kind of been floating out there?
Yeah, definitely. So whey protein is from milk. So it comes from milk. And it is kind of our gold standard for protein in that it has all of our essential amino acids and it's really high in leucine. And leucine is important essential amino acid because that's what turns on your muscle protein synthesis. And so that's what we're looking for after a hard workout. We're looking to start that repair and rebuilding right. process. And so you're right. It is a little bit faster absorbing. Casein is another milk protein. And so casein is a little bit slower absorbing, a little slower releasing protein. And so for something like a night snack, it can be beneficial to do something like a combo of whey and casein because you're going to get that fast releasing whey protein. And then that casein is going to release a little bit slower throughout the night while you're sleeping. And so even just doing dairy products will have whey and casein available for you before you go to bed.
So, when you have kind of a consult and you're talking to these athletes about their diet, you ideally when you're doing a workout, when you're recovering, you want to mm-hmm. maintain a certain level of protein to, you know, to keep the synthesis
right.
going. How do you recommend throughout the day, how many snacks, how
yeah.
many meals to keep that protein synthesis high by
yeah.
having the adequate amount of protein to do that?
Right. So your muscle protein synthesis will kind of ebb and flow and, you know, you can kind of upregulate it with your protein intake. And so typically what we recommend, so for most people, anywhere from 20 to 30 grams. If you're a little bit bigger, you can use a little bit more. But for most people, 20 to 30 grams is going to optimize your muscle protein synthesis. And so, and that'll keep you in a positive protein balance for about 3 to 4 hours. So typically what I recommend for my clients is every 3 to 4 hours, can we get a high quality, meaning like an animal product or byproduct protein source? And that's what keeps us in a positive protein balance and kind of optimizes our muscle protein synthesis. And so, you know, we're thinking 4 or 5 meals throughout the day or 4 or 5 feeding times where we're getting protein in. So our 3 meals, 1 snack, and then maybe even a night snack before we go to bed.
There's the talk of a window of time, protein
mm-hmm.
timing, right?
Yeah.
Nutrient timing is
yeah.
kind of a big thing as well. You know, the adage is once you've worked out, it's within that 30-minute timing
yeah.
to get that protein in. What's the latest on that? Is it as delineated as that, or is, I kind of heard, rather than a window of time, it's more like a barn door?
Right. Yeah. And so I think, you know, if you're not getting your protein in within 30 minutes, all is not lost. And really what we're seeing more in the research now is that, are we hitting that every 3 to 4 hours? And so are we consuming protein consistently throughout the day? And if that's true, then you're going to be maximizing your protein synthesis. And so if you're 3 or 4 hours is up an hour after your workout, and during that time you had to run home and shower and do other things, that's okay. And so again, it's more, I think, more about protein consistency throughout the day than really trying to time it up within that 30 minutes right after the workout.
Okay, so now you have the person who takes everything a step above and beyond. Is there a detriment or ill effects of doing too much or having too much protein in your diet?
Yeah, there's not in the sense of that. I think a lot of people get scared of like kidney or liver issues with high protein diets. And really what we've seen is that's not the case. And so up to 3 grams per kilogram per day it's pretty high. And we've seen that diet for a long period of time and we haven't seen any ill effects. And so really what we're recommending is anywhere between 1 to 2 grams per kilogram for our athletes per day, and breaking that up into those 20 or 30 gram amounts every 3 to 4 hours. And so going above and beyond that isn't really necessary per se, because we're maxing out that muscle protein synthesis for most people at around 30 grams. And so anywhere above that isn't detrimental, but it's not really going above that 30 grams. So
if somebody's interested in looking into a calculator or a good way to kind of manage their diet in the day, what do you have any resources that you know of?
Yeah, so as far as calculating calories and things like that, I think that's tough because everybody's so different. We use Bod Pod, so finding a good body composition measurement, and so those can give you some pretty accurate resting metabolic rates and some pretty accurate energy expenditure ranges. And so using that for estimating your intake or your appropriate needs, I would say focusing on protein. And so a lot of people who are trying to lose weight just want to cut their calories in half and start exercising like crazy, but really we want to maintain all the muscle that we have, and so we want to keep that protein consistent. So can you get that 20 to 30 grams of protein at least maybe 4 times a day? So we're doing those 3 meals and a snack potentially. And then otherwise, can we choose things that are low calorie density, high volume, like fruits and vegetables? So can we surround those good quality proteins with those high quality, high nutrient density foods?
So other than protein, what's the other supplements that you hear a lot about?
Yeah. So creatine is another big one. And so that's pretty popular, and it's popular because it works. So we're actually a little creatine deficient in our diets because our livestock don't create a lot of creatine because they don't move around that much. So things like wild game will have a little bit more creatine naturally than maybe some of our conventional meats and things like that from our farms. Supplementing with creatine, and creatine is a muscle energy source. And so for when you're doing really heavy weightlifting, or, you know, you're doing short activities that are less than 30 seconds, we're really tapping into those creatine stores in our muscles. So when we supplement, we've got a little bit more, we can push a little bit farther, a little bit harder, and we see better gains with that creatine supplementation. And so it is popular. There is, you know, some method to the madness, right? So we want to make sure that when we do start a creatine supplement regimen, we have to do a loading phase. So we know we're a little bit deficient. So we want to do the first 5 to 7 days. We're looking at 20 grams per day, kind of broken up into 4 or 5 grams time periods where we're taking that creatine. And then it's maintenance after that. So we've got to be consistent with it. So if you're looking at focusing on maybe a 6-week training session, so maybe the week before we're loading with creatine, and then during that 6 weeks we're taking 5 grams every day. And most people take it after a workout, and then when you take the creatine, it's a little bit more effective if we can take it with a protein and a carbohydrate. So making it part of your recovery meal is a good idea too. But yeah, we see a lot of increases in muscle strength and even a little bit in muscle size with creatine supplementation.
Is there a large difference between the loading of it and just doing, like, just somebody starting off doing just the 5 grams when they work out?
So I think you'll probably see better results faster with the loading. And so you can do it, and people have looked at studies, and it's probably not a huge difference, but, I mean, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it right. You might as well get the results as best as you can.
So an experienced lifter has been taking creatine for months, even years. Mm-hmm. Is there any ill effect or detriment to it?
No, that's the thing. Creatine is pretty safe when done in the right amounts. And okay. So we haven't seen, and there's been a couple studies where they've done creatine, and even in teenagers, they've done really high doses for a long time, and they haven't seen any detrimental effects.
If you're getting your blood work done, is there anything that you can look at in the blood work about if you do take creatine and things like that that you need to be aware of?
Oh, that's a good question. I would have to refer to Dr. Bajani on that one just to double check with that. But truly, again, it's not going to be a super detrimental effect or anything like that.
All right. You mentioned pre-workouts.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So as an early morning worker outer.
Yeah.
Right. Some people like that little boost in the morning.
So yeah.
Can give me a little information about the pre-workouts, what you should be looking for, maybe what you want to avoid.
Yeah. So pre-workouts, probably one of the main ingredients, the effective ingredients, is caffeine. And so, right, just get that little bit jolt of caffeine in the mornings. They'll typically have a little bit of carbohydrate. Occasionally, they'll have some beta-alanine. And so beta-alanine is an intercellular buffer. And so it's going to kind of be like creatine, that's going to allow you to push a little bit harder, but it's going to keep that acidity lower in your muscles. And so you can go a little bit longer before you fatigue. But again, beta-alanine is something that you're going to have to do really consistently. And typically what's in pre-workouts, the amount of beta-alanine isn't really what we need, isn't high enough. And so beta-alanine in pre-workout is really just kind of, some people like it because it gives them a little bit of a flush, a little jittery, maybe a little itch, and that kind of gets them going. And that's fine, too.
Kind of the placebo.
Yeah.
Something's going on here.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Is there anything that you should be looking for to not be in, or like maybe excessive amounts or doses in for pre-workout?
Yeah.
There's all kinds out there.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I think being careful with caffeine, because it can add up really quick. And so if you're doing caffeine in a pre-workout and you're drinking several cups of coffee in a day, or doing a Monster or a Red Bull, those can add up over time. And so, you know, 80 milligrams to 100 milligrams of caffeine is a pretty good range to look for. Any more than that is, we kind of want to stick in that range just to be safe for the most part. Really looking for things like proprietary blends on your ingredients label for the supplement facts, because we don't know what's in there. And then I think as far as being safe, just looking for third-party tested supplements. And so,
can you give me some of those third parties that we can be looking for
in
our supplements?
So what we're looking for is NSF is kind of our gold standard. And so it's NSF certified for sport. It's a blue label with a white NSF in the center. There's also Informed Sport or Informed Choice, which tells you that there's no banned substances. And so that's important if you're competing in a collegiate or pro level or even high school now. They do test a little bit in high school. And then there's USP, which is telling you that what's on the label is actually in the product. And so the nice thing about NSF is that it will do both of those things. So it will test for banned substances, and then they've also tested that what's in the label is actually in the product.
BCAs, right? See those being sold or trying to put into people's routine. Is that something that's necessary just to have the branched chain amino acids as a separate supplement, or are they already kind of included in some other things?
Yeah, so I would say save your money on the BCAAs. They tend to be pretty expensive, and truly we get plenty of BCAAs in our diet when we eat animal products. And so isoleucine, leucine, and valine are branched chain amino acids. So we talked about leucine being really important for muscle protein synthesis, and that's true, but you really do get adequate amounts of branched chains in meats or in a whey protein or something like that. So supplementing on top with branched chain amino acids isn't super important or super effective. There's been one study that's looked at muscle soreness maybe improving with some intra-workout BCAAs. But again, for what they cost, doesn't necessarily need to be an everyday part of your routine.
So let's take a little different spin.
Okay.
Women.
Yeah.
Women and supplements.
Yeah.
Most of the time you hear women who want to avoid the whole shredded cut look, big muscles.
Right,
they hear protein, they hear creatine as far as making muscle, hypertrophy, muscle bigger.
Right.
Is there anything out there that the women athletes would need to know, or mm-hmm. is it just, you know, hogwash and old wives' tales?
I would say that it's okay to be strong, and yeah. it's right. And so creatine, you know, you're not going to get huge on creatine, or, you know, your muscles as a female probably aren't going to reach those same levels as males because we don't have the same testosterone. But, you know, if you're a female and you're really serious about your sport and you've optimized your diet, there's nothing wrong with taking a little bit of creatine and kind of pushing yourself above and beyond. And so I would say for females, you know, you don't necessarily have to be scared of supplements. Don't necessarily be scared of getting too big or anything like that. And think of it instead of you're getting stronger, you're getting more proficient at your sport. Things to avoid for females, you know, things like fat burners, I think, are marketed more towards females and things like that. And that's really, it's just a bunch of caffeine or other stimulants, which can be really dangerous too in large amounts. And so I would say stay away from the fat burners and stick to optimizing your diet and exercise.
So things to stay away from, you know, there's so many brands out there.
Yeah.
Where's a good way to see what brands have passed the test,
yeah.
which ones go through the necessary reviews? Is there a way to look that up? Is there a resource? Or do you have yeah. any in mind that really stick out as being the ones you should kind of look into?
Yeah. So NSFForSport.com is a great website, and they keep that really up to date. And so they're people who have paid NSF to third-party test them so they can put their label on there, but there are supplement companies that will put the label on there without doing the actual testing. So going to the website and double-checking those products, that's your best bet, and that's a great one, and that you can kind of break it down on protein or pre-workout or whatever you're looking for. Otherwise, reputable brands, I think Muscle Milk does a pretty good job. They're always NSF. Bipro is a really nice, if you want more of a whey isolate protein. Thorn Research has really great kind of single nutrient kind of products and things that are really high quality, and NSF as well. And I'm trying to think of, there's another one that's on the tip of my tongue, and now I can't remember which one it is.
There's
but
so many of them. You know,
there
you
are.
You have Optimum Nutrition.
Right.
You have all the different, the GNC and Nutrient, you know, Nutrition Depot
yeah.
markets.
Yes.
Is that the best place to go to? Is there a better way of going about getting them?
I would say avoid the vitamin shops, avoid the GNCs, because they're going to try to sell you whatever,
yeah.
right? And those salespeople aren't necessarily the most knowledgeable, so I would say starting with NSF, talking to a dietitian, talking to an athletic trainer, PT, who really knows their stuff, they can probably guide you in the right direction of reputable brands.
How about ages? We got parents that maybe want to get their kids a little bit of extra head start,
yeah.
or they feel like anything that can help them, you know, excel in their sport.
Yes.
Because they specialize probably too soon.
Yeah.
What's the recommendations on ages
yeah.
and supplements?
I would say, you know, you can do a lot with your diet. And truly, there's probably a lot of room for improvement in their diet first, especially at the younger ages. And I would say maybe once they're getting into high school, something like a protein shake at night would be appropriate. Really younger than that, I would say let's just focus on making sure they're eating fruits and vegetables and getting, you know, high quality proteins throughout the day. Once they're in high school, you know, and if they are really serious, dedicated athletes, then yeah, maybe we talk a little bit more about maybe a little bit more of a creatine supplementation if they're really trying to get a little bit bigger for their sport. In college is where we see that the kind of supplement factor in a little bit more frequently.
How does an individual or a parent get in contact with someone like yourself, a dietitian,
yeah.
or someone in their area that, if they're not around from here, what's the best way to go about doing this so they can, you know, get as many good opinions as
yeah.
possible?
So you can always shoot me an email. We're happy to answer any questions over email or over the phone. So
what's your email?
Christina, christina.curry, C-U-R-R-Y, @memorialherman.org. So I'm happy to answer any questions from anybody on any kind of supplement or nutrition question. And then if you're in the area and you wanted to set up a consult, we work with youth athletes all the time. And so that's definitely a passion area of mine, is kind of educating the youth athlete, because I think it's such a overlooked skill, I guess, nutrition and knowing what you're putting into your body. And so if we can teach them young, they're really going to be better off as they get a little bit older.
Awesome. All right, so guys, if you want to rewatch this broadcast, you can go to sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/Curry 2018. Thank you for talking with me.
Thank you.